Our next presenter is Malawi Garcia Vega. She is currently the Assistant Director at the National Council of La Raza, California State University, Long Beach, so she joins us from the West Coast, the Center for Latino Community Health Evaluation and Leadership Training. She has coordinated several HIV/AIDS and obesity prevention projects incorporating community health workers and providing students experiential opportunities to reach underserved Latino populations. Today, she will discuss effective strategies in implementing student learning programs and community-based research.
Good afternoon. I'm going to be discussing a program that's funded by the USDA entitled Latino Nutrition and Chronic Disease Prevention, and again, to provide students with experiential learning opportunities. I have no relationships to disclose. Our funder, again, is the United States Department of Agriculture. Our co-principal investigators could not be here today. Dr. Britt Riosellis, Professor of Health Science at Cal State Long Beach, and Dr. Gail Frank, Professor of Family and Consumer Sciences. Our evaluator is Dr. Enrique Ortega. I'm the project coordinator, and we also had a total of 14 14 students, two graduate, and the rest were undergraduate. And we collaborated with the Long Beach Health Department in Long Beach, and they allowed us to recruit at various WIC clinics. So the background for the project, we're focusing on the prevalence of obesity in the United States. We know that it has more than tripled for U.S. children and adolescents during the past three decades. Within Latino children, we've seen double increases between 1976 and 1980, and then from 2007 to 2008. And specifically in Long Beach, we do see overweight and obesity within the children whose mothers are in the WIC clinics. We also know that poor nutrition and other determinants of childhood obesity are not looked at during college courses, and also that there's a lack of opportunities for students to learn community-based research within higher institutions. So the purpose of our project is twofold. It's to prepare faculty and students for careers in the USDA Strategic Nutrition and Health Goals through academic advising and experiential learning, and also to establish a permanent Latino Nutrition and Chronic Disease Prevention course, which actually was taught for the first time last semester, but I won't be discussing today. Our university objectives are, again, to establish the course, which has been done, provide 8 faculty training and culturally relevant student advising, specifically tailored to Latino students and the barriers and difficulties that they face while attending school, and also to provide 14 students with the experiential learning opportunities. As far as the community, we are to engage more than 180 Latino WIC moms to receive health education, motivational interviewing that was incorporated into all of our curriculum, and case management with our students. So student experiential learning opportunities, the students had to be first generation educated, bilingual and bicultural, enrolled in research related fields, either like nutrition or health science. We did have some sociology and psychology students as well. We took in 2 graduates and 4 undergraduates per year, and one of the graduate students was elected as the graduate scholar. Recruitment and interview process was really rigorous. We recruited on campus. They had to submit an application, a personal statement, and letters of reference, and they were interviewed by a panel of the co-principal investigators and staff to see who would be qualified to participate. The role of the health educators was a 1-year commitment, although we did have about 4 of the students who stayed on for the second year to complete our 2-year project. They were to attend all project trainings, which usually were held on Saturdays because of the student schedules, and meetings. They were to conduct participant recruitment in the community at the WIC clinics, conduct health education with the WIC moms, collect data and also manage their caseloads. They had to help with material development and also were to submit abstracts and conduct presentations at local and national conferences. So there's 3 of our students. These are some of the training topics which they received training in. We conducted pre and post tests with all the students before and after the trainings, and also conducted a lot of refresher trainings based on feedback from the students as they were implementing their sessions. Dr. Gail Frank is a real strong believer for the motivational interviewing, so we incorporated that into all of the sessions. So after the students educated on breastfeeding, they would engage in questions with the participants to see how comfortable or how confident they would be in breastfeeding after the session. So here are some of the topics. All of the students completed the IRB board guidelines and were certified to conduct research. And then just some of the other topics. So the benefits for the students, one of the students, again, received a graduate scholarship, so she received full tuition for 2 years, parking fees, which we know have definitely increased in the past years, travel opportunities, so some of them attended APJ in Denver, and some of them are attending here today. They received a laptop computer, which some of the students at Cal State Long Beach don't have, and also monetary stipends. I'm always really surprised to see how involved and how committed the students were, only receiving $200 stipends every 2 months. So this wasn't an hourly graduate research fellow position. It was only stipends. As far as experiential learning, they learned about community-based participatory research, project implementation, SPSS data entry management. Usually we don't think students are interested, but they really were eager to learn. So they learned about it in class. Now they were able to come in, work with us at the center, and really work with data entry, clean the data, running frequencies, and preparing presentations. Also, they developed abstracts for presentations. As far as career development, they received a lot of mentorship from our principal investigators. They were involved in networking opportunities on campus. A lot of them don't have the opportunity to be around faculty and different administration at the university, so that was a plus for them. And also, they conducted presentations. They attended local and national conferences, and again, they received the stipends, and some of them also received internship credits for our college. And these are some of the students at the Witt Clinic. So here are just the travel opportunities. The last bullet here is one of our students actually went on to find her own conference to apply to. So she approached one of our co-PIs to help her with the abstract. She got permission and was able to submit and was selected to go to San Francisco last year. And she actually got a full travel stipend on her own to go. So we were able to see her development that way as well. Now, they were also to do the health education. So this is actually the way that our recruitment table looks at one of the WIC clinics. So it's, you know, appealing so that the participants will walk up and kind of wonder what's going on. The target population was, again, more than 180 WIC moms. Eligibility requirements were they had to be Latinas, at least 18 years of age or older, WIC recipients, and at least 20 weeks pregnant. And this is because we wanted to also engage them in a 3-month follow-up after they gave birth to see what their breastfeeding behaviors were. The intervention was 5 1-hour health education sessions and a total of 9 classes. So there was about 1 to 2 classes per session. And then the follow-up interview and then also data collection at each session. And they also received a $10 incentive each time they participated. Recruitment was conducted by trained community health educators at WIC. Our first 2007 project, we were only recruiting at WIC and conducting the sessions at WIC, and we had really low participation. The second year, we were able to ask the IRB to let us go into the homes, and we found that participants were really welcoming, and they felt more comfortable at home, and they were able to concentrate a little bit more because they didn't have to worry about transportation issues or having their kids play around at WIC. So we really saw the difference there. Students made appointments for either in-home or WIC sessions and were invited into the participant homes. And it was really interesting to see as the project went on that students would receive pictures of newborns as the women were starting to have their kids. As far as the education sessions, here's kind of what the format looked like. So they took a pre-knowledge test, they went through the health education, motivational interviewing, post-knowledge test, and then received their stipends. We also were able to request diaper samples from Pampers and cereal and baby items that we were able to give them as well. The students were expected to recruit and complete sessions of more than 15 participants. Our students who stayed on for 2 years conducted more than 30 health education, were able to enroll more than 30 participants. So they conducted, you know, plenty of health education sessions. They implemented usually sessions within 2 to 3 sittings at participant homes. They collected the data. They were supposed to submit their data every week to make sure it wasn't lost and it wasn't lost in their car or anything like that. They were also to follow up via telephone, and we're actually still doing that now because of the participants that enrolled in August, which is the last month of our project. And they also to conduct data entry and cleaning. Here's what the educational curriculum looks like. This curriculum was actually developed from 2007 to 2009 through a separate USDA grant. So it covers prenatal care, breastfeeding, proper nutrition, so introduction to new foods and solids, the USDA nutritional guidelines, and then sessions 4 and 5. So session 4 was healthy lifestyle, so the importance of physical activity, the importance of parents being role models for their children. And then session 5 was an appendix. This was not a mandatory session for the participants. We didn't want to overburden them. But we did have, I believe, close to 130 participants who decided to go ahead and engage in that last session. So there definitely was an eagerness to learn, especially from those who were first-time mothers. Student reflections, we've conducted a survey with the students, and they so we've asked them three important things they learned through their participation in the project: the need for health education in the community, the effectiveness of one-on-one education sessions, the importance of family values in the Latino community, and we were able to incorporate these into the sessions, which I think made them really effective with the community we were working with. The importance of breastfeeding, they learned how to manage their time, so they often they worked at the center for a number of hours and then were able to go out into the community and recruit and then also into the home. So they definitely had to manage their time besides other work and then their classwork. The importance of pursuing a graduate degree is one thing that we also found with the students. A lot of them are now going into the MPH programs, either at Cal State Long Beach or other campuses, and also the interest in maternal and child health. Other reflections, you can see here, it has been an amazing experience. I feel like I have grown tremendously as a professional. I'm a better advocate for my community. I gain knowledge and insight regarding community health interventions, CBPR and prenatal health. I'm glad that I learned how to use SPSS. And also curriculum development was something that they really enjoyed, and data analysis, which we were surprised. So these are just a few results. I'm not gonna share someone else is sharing actually other ones at another presentation. So far, we've surpassed our number of participants. We were supposed to reach 180. We've reached 191. These are from the beginning of October, so I'm sure that we're close to reaching our 180 for all four sessions. I think we're about 17 away, so everyone's really excited. I actually have a student who's studying abroad in Europe, and she's been checking in with me via email to ask me how the project's going, so she's really anxious to find out. And again, 130 decided to participate in that optional appendix session. Measures, we looked at demographics, prenatal health, breastfeeding history with their previous children, and access to health care. Increases in knowledge regarding our key topics, prenatal care, breastfeeding, nutrition, and physical activity, and also behavior change, breastfeeding initiation, duration, food introduction, and also role modeling regarding physical activity. So here are some of the demographics. Average age was about 27. We did have participants as old as 41, so the range was 18 to 41. 88% preferred Spanish. We did have a few students, actually two of them, who did not speak Spanish, so they actually conducted the sessions with the 18 and the younger adults who spoke English. 52% were born in Mexico, 37% in the U.S. Mean weeks of pregnancy was 30, and again, the range was 20 to 30. Number of children, most of them only had one child, although I think the majority, it was their first pregnancy. Marital status, we see that 71% were either married or living with a partner. However, we do have 20% who were single. As far as educational level, most of them either had a high school diploma or had some college. Employment was an interesting thing to find out. Only 24% of them had permanent employment and were going to be returning to work after their pregnancy. 84% had health insurance, had only Medi-Cal insurance as their primary health insurance. Only 11% had employer-based insurance. Prenatal care, 100% of them said they were going to prenatal care visits. However, some of them believed that WIC was their prenatal care. So we were able to link some of them to OB clinics in the Long Beach area. Transportation, we found out this was a barrier for some of them to receive care or participate in our visits. So some of them walked and took personal public transportation, and others received rides from friends and family, and also were picked up by clinic vans. Gestational diabetes, 7% said they had gestational diabetes. Some of them were not aware, so we were able to discuss that with them and encourage them to see their doctors. And only 20% had attended childbirth classes, although some of them reported that they knew about them, they just thought they really didn't need them. So we also encouraged them to attend. As far as breastfeeding behaviors, 95% said they had breastfeeding in the past. Food introduction, they thought that you should introduce food at 3 months, which we know is not recommended, so we also talked to them about the proper times for food introduction. Breastfeeding intention, 102 said they were interested in breastfeeding only. However, we did see that 34% were thinking about breastfeeding and giving their baby formula, so we definitely wanted to work on that as well. Pre-post intervention changes, just a few things here. We did see significant increases in diet during pregnancy knowledge, so what types of stuff they should be eating, what the recommended weight gain is during pregnancy, how many calories per day. Those are the type of things that we covered. Breastfeeding knowledge was also increased. Baby nutrition knowledge, so again, food introduction, what types of liquids and solids should be introduced and at what times. Activity knowledge, so what type of physical activity and how long, so the recommended minutes per day and how much time children should be spending in front of the TV. Their knowledge about food allergies and also recreational activity knowledge. So our next steps, we're finishing up the educational sessions. We're going to finalize our three-month follow-up, hopefully by January, based on when participants were recruited and at what time they were enrolled. We're going to finalize the data analysis and assess the differences between age groups, country birth, educational level, and retention. And that's it. Thank you.